Good morning. It's good to be with you today. It's good to be a family, right? On these nice cool days, it's good to come in and just be together with a church family. I got reminded of that this morning as we were sitting there singing that I am who you say I am, and talking about being a child of God, and just seeing little Cecilia down there just dancing and thinking of the joy that it means to be part of God's family and be his child. It's just amazing. It's amazing. One thing I was thinking of this last week is oftentimes when we get like into a church building, when we get here on Sundays, our minds usually shift a little bit, don't they? We think of phrases, we think of what's going on, we think of the things around us just a little bit differently. And I think called out is one of those phrases that we might turn on a different switch during church on a Sunday morning when we think of being called out. Because when we think of being called out on a Sunday morning, we might think of like one of the disciples being called out and like being challenged to this amazing thing that they're going to be doing. But when we think of being called out on an everyday basis, if I was to say to you on a Monday or Tuesday, man, I'm calling you out, it has a completely different tone to it. It has a completely different connotation to it. You think that you're in trouble. You think that you're being accused. You might get defensive. And I think that as much as the inverse is true, that they did recognize that they were being called into something great. I think that's something that the disciples, that each of the people that God reached into their lives and called them out on something, I think they realized that both were true. That they were, in fact, being called out, that their lives needed to change. But also, they were being called into something amazing. The summer of my junior and senior year in high school, right in between there, during that summer, I umpired junior high baseball games. And you get a great understanding of calling out in a junior high baseball game. And there was this one kid on my school's team. His name was Kenny, and Kenny was an awesome kid. And Kenny, actually, if you knew him, he was the church secretary's son. So me being the preacher's kid and the secretary's kid, we played growing up and stuff. I had known him since he was like weeks old, and we just had this fun relationship, him and I, especially when I was umpiring a game, because Kenny, he was really good at sports, and for most people that are good at sports, they're also really competitive at sports, and so Kenny would sometimes get a little bit over his toes when it came to coaches, to umpires and stuff. And Kenny came up, and during a junior high baseball game, pitchers aren't very good. And so our coach had said, hey, for our team, I don't care what the strike zone is. You can make it as big as you want, because we just want the players to swing. We want them to get the ball on the field of play, get them out, and all that. And so anyways, Kenny comes up, and he says something to me like he usually does when he comes up to the plate. And so we're joking around, and the first pitch comes in, and it's just perfect. Outside corner, bottom outside corner, strike one. And Kenny looks back at me, what? That wasn't a strike? Said Kenny, said, if you question my call, I don't care where the next pitch is, it's a strike. And so the next pitch comes in, and it's a little outside, I'll give him that. There's a little outside, strike two. What? Said, okay, Kenny, better be swinging. The third pitch is what could only be described as a junior high pitch. He wound up, threw the ball. It went over Kenny's head. It went over the catcher's head. It went over my head. It almost went over the backstop. Strike three, you're out. His face was awesome. His jaw just dropped, and he kind of almost got this sad look in his eye, and he just kind of walked back. And I talked to Kenny after the game, and we joked around about it. We still actually, whenever I see him, when I go back home, the few times I've seen him, he always jokes around with me about that call. But I think that attitude can sometimes leak into our relationship with God. That attitude of, maybe I can get away with it this time. Maybe the thing that I'm doing this time, God won't really call me out on. God won't really notice. He won't really deal with it. He'll just let it slide by. Maybe we think we've got a good enough relationship with them. He's just joking. Of all people, I can get away with it. And so we question. So we make our own rules. So we come to the plate a little too confident at times. And I think in those days, in those times, for each of us, what we need is to be called out. Maybe to most of us, we see what's going on in Matthew's life before Jesus enters the scene, and we don't think there was much wrong with the picture of a man just trying to make a living, just trying to get by. Matthew was a tax collector, and maybe you've started to get ready for tax season. Maybe you already have ideas or pictures in your mind of what a tax collector may be. Maybe a call on the phone. Maybe an audit that's gone too far. And you're starting to get that idea of what a tax collector was and what the people thought of them. The life of a tax collector was one of an almost villainous feel. Matthew and the other tax collectors would have been one of everyone else in their town. For Matthew, that meant that he was a Jewish man. He was from the same nationality. He was from the same people group as everyone around him was. He was a Jewish man working for an oppressive Roman government that had taken over God's people in what they considered a punishment from God. Not only that, but how tax collectors would make their money and really seal their reputation was the way that they went about collecting. You see, to make money, they had to collect not only what the government owed, but what they thought was enough extra to put in their pocket. And not only did they do that, but the people ahead of them, the people above them, would be doing the same thing. So what you would get is you'd get the government that would say you owe this price, and then you would get the tax collector's bosses that would go around and say, well, you owe this price, and then you get the tax collectors that would go and come to your door, and they would say you owed this price. And no matter how small the man was, it was hard to back talk gentleman knocking on the door with two Roman guards standing on either side of him. They would be willing to bully, to beat, to mock, to threaten any way that they needed to get their money. And that would be the type of man that the tax collectors were, that everybody saw, that everybody thought of. That's why these men were none too popular in their day. But it was also exactly the sort of man that Jesus would call to follow him. We pick up the story as Jesus walks through a marketplace one day. And I think it's amazing, this story in particular, because we get to hear it from Matthew's own words in his gospel. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, the many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's an interesting story. It's an interesting call that Jesus makes to Matthew. And we see in Matthew's call, two different stories in their reactions of both Jesus and the Pharisees. It's really interesting that Jesus calls this man who is a sinner, who is living a life of sin, who's at the table right then and there, and yet Matthew's call is identical to all the men that we looked at last week. All the fishermen, all the ones that were sitting at their jobs, and their jobs were ones that were pretty innocent. They were just going out fishing. And he goes up to this man who's in the middle of doing these terrible things with a terrible reputation, and he calls him the exact same way. He calls Peter, James, John, Andrew. It's interesting because we see that Jesus does not call people out on sin until he calls them out of sin. And here's what I mean by that. Jesus called Matthew to a way of life that was dramatically different than what he was living in before he put him down to living the life that he thought he had no other choice but to live. Did Jesus compromise on truth? Not for a second. But what Jesus did is he came out and reached out to those who needed him most. And Jesus recognized that those who needed him most didn't need to hear about what they were doing wrong. They needed to hear about a whole nother way to live. You ask Matthew. You ask the woman at the well. You ask the woman caught in adultery, the Canaanite. They each knew that the way that they were living, that the things they were doing were wrong. They each knew that their lives needed to change. But when Jesus came to them, he didn't come to them saying, "You terrible people, how could you be doing this?" He came to them with arms open wide, saying, "Come follow me." Jesus always loved, and he never compromised. Jesus knew that when he got into this relationship with these people, when he got into this relationship with Matthew, his life wouldn't look the same. Matthew wouldn't go on being the same type of tax collector. He wouldn't go on beating people. He wouldn't go on cheating people. He wouldn't go on threatening people. Matthew's life would change because he followed Jesus. And so Jesus comes and he calls Matthew. He calls him out of a life of sin, knowing that the Holy Spirit that's working inside of Matthew is going to call him out on the sin that he's been living in. And I tell you today, how many people are outside the walls of this building who don't know that there's a way out of sin? All they know is that they're being called out on their sin. I'm sorry, but many times that's not going to change people's hearts. When Jesus comes, he offers them a whole new life. People need to know that there is a new life. We know when we're doing something wrong. We know when our lives don't line up with what God wants us to live. People need to know that there's a new life. Jesus lives in this way, and Jesus works in this way. Jesus loves in this way that reaches to people where they're at. And the interesting thing in all of this is when Jesus reaches down and calls people out of their life of sin before calling them out on their sin, is Jesus is actually the one that gets called out here. Because as you look at this story, as you look at what's going on in here, Jesus goes and he calls Matthew and he's eating with him. He's sharing a table with him, acting like Matthew is his family. And the tax collectors come up and their minds are blown. They're thinking, what are you doing? Why are you eating with this person? Why are you sharing a table with this person? Why are you acting like they're one of your friends, one of your family? And Jesus, I don't know if he was mad or if he laughed when he said it, but he just looks at the Pharisees and says, you have it all wrong. You see, the Pharisees were used to just going around and telling these people that they were in the wrong. And they wonder why Jesus would consider socializing with such a rowdy group of people. But we see into the mindset of Jesus when he answers them. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. What Jesus is looking for here is a call to an honest relationship that turns them towards a heartfelt repentance. Jesus brings in this scripture from the book of Hosea in this line that says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And what he's pointing to is in the original context when Hosea is having to say to people that are robbing and murdering each other and thinking that going and sacrificing on an altar to God is going to clear all that up, he has to say, no, I'm not looking for your sacrifices. I'm not looking for an excuse to go out and do whatever you think you don't want to do. It doesn't cover. He's saying going out and killing someone just because you give a sacrifice of a lamb, it's not gonna work that way. And so God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire it to be in here that you change. And your actions are going to change with it. Jesus says, I'm not trying to lead these people into a religious system. I'm walking with them in a relationship that's going to change their lives through mercy. I'll turn to the same field Jesus turned to. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. If you're sick and you go to the doctors with a chronic condition, the doctors look you over and say, I have two options for you. You can keep this chronic condition. Every single day you can battle with your sickness, and doing so, it may get worse. It may actually spread to every part of your body. But I can give you a pill that'll take most of the pain away. Or if the doctor comes in and says, hey, this is what's going on. You have this condition in your life. If you change one thing, it's not going to be easy, it's not going to be simple. But if you change this, we can work towards getting you healthy again. You can live a life that's going to be more full than it ever was. You can walk and be healed. Those are the options. Which one are you going to pick? The thing is, that question's real. Each of us has been called out. Each of us, my hands up first, have suffered with this sickness called sin in our lives. And each of us need to be called out each of us need to go to God to heal us. We need Jesus. There is another way to live. There is a cure to the curse. Jesus invites all of us to a relationship with him. He says, follow me. Simple as the call is, it's so beautiful. It's the same to each of us. Fisherman, tax collector, whatever your life looks like, anywhere in between, God calls you to be part of this family. Will you choose today into that new life? That through the Spirit of God is going to call you out on some things. Is going to change some things. But it's calling you out to a relationship with Him. During the next song, we're going to have a time of invitation that if you need to take that first step, invite you to come up. But right now, would you go ahead and stand with me? Let's pray and thank God that we can be who He says we are. Dear Lord, we thank You for calling us. Though we know that call isn't always simple, we know that call isn't always easy or convenient even. God, You call us to a new life. You call us to be Your sons and daughters. You call us to follow You. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy that calls us out of sin. And we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that calls us out on sin. Lord, we pray that with our lives, with everything that we say, do, with every word that we speak, with every thought that we think, God, may it be more like You. We love You. We thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray.